Welcome to this week's presentation of Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Please join us for the next half hour for what we pray will be an edifying time of thoughtful discussion and helpful dialogue on contemporary issues involving the precious truth of God's Word. Your hosts today are Pastors Ken Billings and Tim Goad.
Well, good morning. I believe this is broadcast number 79.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been on the air for 79 broadcasts. Possibly more because we've done some reruns when the necessity arose.
We had nothing to say.
We had nothing.
I'm going to be 58 in 9 days.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Wow. That's ancient.
Good thing. That's all right.
No, we won't.
There's a lot of cause for celebration. I can't wait till we get to 100. That's going to be really cool.
That'll be really cool. Should the Lord tarry, that would be cool. Hey, guys, we're talking about J.C. Ryle's classic book, Holiness.
Yes.
And we've been talking of late about the doctrine of sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe our last broadcast dealt with, what was it, Kenny?
Visible evidences.
The visible evidences of sanctification. If you missed that broadcast, we encourage you to go out to www.sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. And you'll be able to listen to...
I think you threw an extra W in there.
No, www.
Yeah, I could have sworn
there's only three of them.
World Wide Web.
Yes.
I know what it stands for. I just thought he said www.
Anyway, guys, to wrangle you back into the conversation at hand, we are talking about sanctification. And Kenny, why don't you get us started? What are we talking about today?
Well, in this, the final part of the second chapter on sanctification, or out of the book Holiness called Sanctification, this final portion is called the distinction between justification and sanctification. And he has a whole bunch of points about this, but there's really, he doesn't really explain much in the book. And it seems that this is an important...
Are we going to talk about this one? Okay.
Are we talking about this one?
Go ahead.
Now I feel like there's been a problem. You don't have that paper?
There's a breach.
I do.
We have a breach.
We have, what we have here
the failure
is
to communicate.
A failure to communicate, according to Cool Hand Luke. But I've got a page here that's got other things on it.
Yes, that's the last page.
Oh, okay.
That's page number four.
Okay. We're on
page
number Senator, three. You'll forgive our disorganization.
We are
please
not
continue, my brother.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. But it seems that there are people who get these two doctrines confused, apparently, mm-hmm. that, you know, that they would say that I'm justified because of my holiness,
right?
Or since I was declared holy, mm-hmm. I don't have to live a life of holiness. So
right.
We have to make sure that we understand the differences as well as similarities or similarities and differences
right.
between these two doctrines. He has 5 similarities and 8 differences.
Okay.
And I think we're just going to kind of, I don't know, just shoot through these as quickly as possible anyways.
Right. Before we start, let me give a kind of a textbook definition of justification.
Okay.
I know he's probably going to go into this, but it helps to understand at the outset the difference between the two. Justification is known as that forensic act, that legal act of God, whereby he declares us to be righteous based upon the imputed righteousness of Christ. Those of us who are covered by his blood also are given his righteousness as our own, as if it were our own. It's not our own. It's an alien righteousness. So we're declared to be righteous before God. That's
right.
The doctrine of justification. We've already given a definition for the doctrine of sanctification, so... how are they alike?
Well, I'll go over a couple of them, and then one of you go over another.
Yeah.
The first one is pretty simple, that they both proceed originally from the free grace of God. It is of his gift alone that believers are justified or sanctified at all.
Right, right.
So first similarity is they both come from God.
Yep.
Okay?
That's an easy one.
The second one, and I'll read this, and then you guys can go do the next couple. Both are part of the great work of salvation which Christ, in his eternal covenant, has undertaken on behalf of his people. Christ is the fountain of life from which pardon, that would be justification, and holiness, sanctification, both flow. The root of each is Christ.
Right.
So in that way they are similar.
Okay, so they both come from Christ. Okay, that's kind of a given, but a lot of people might not realize that.
Right. Well, how are they both given or come from Christ? I think the answer is simply that they originate in Christ because, number one, he is our righteousness, and number two, he is the epitome of holiness. He is the sinless Lamb of God.
Right.
And the whole process of sanctification is our being conformed to that very image.
At the end of 1 Corinthians, we're told that he is our righteousness and he is our sanctification, that Christ is,
right,
as well as other things, but those two things namely.
Exactly, right. Exactly. What's the third thing there?
Third thing is both are to be found in the same persons. Those who are justified are always sanctified, and those who are sanctified are always justified. God has joined them together, and they cannot be put asunder.
Okay, that's clear enough that you're not justified and unsanctified, or vice versa.
Right, and that gets back to the positional reality that I talked about in the last broadcast. Sanctification is a progressive thing, but it's also a positional reality.
Right.
Just as our justification is.
And it also goes back to the whole issue of regeneration, which produces our, to one degree, produces our justification, and those who are justified are also sanctified.
Right.
They will be. Without it, you cannot have eternal life.
Exactly. Okay.
Go ahead, number four, Dan.
Number four, both begin at the same time. Here it is. The moment a person begins to be a justified person, he also begins to be a sanctified person. He may not feel it, but it is a fact.
Yeah, and that gets back to what we talked about feelings. I'm not always going to feel sanctified. I'm not always going to feel justified. As a matter of fact, I would say that any believer who maintains the attitude that they feel justified has missed the mark altogether. The believer this side of glory, I don't think, should ever feel justified. Because then you go back to Romans 7 and you see what the Apostle Paul had to say about himself.
Yeah.
And we can only conclude, oh, wretched man that I am. You know.
Well, we could say, I believe I'm justified,
oh,
or I know I'm justified,
oh, yeah,
but I don't feel it.
I don't feel it.
Most of the time.
No.
Sometimes when my belief and my knowledge of the truth gets so, I can maybe feel a little bit of it, but for the most part, my sin is ever before me, as David says.
Well, and the fact that God would declare us righteous, declare us to be justified, even though we are the most unworthy of all creatures to be justified, I don't think one can ever wrap their brain around that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so number five.
Both are alike necessary to salvation. No one has ever reached heaven without a renewed heart as well as forgiveness, without the Spirit's grace as well as the blood of Christ, without a fitness for eternal glory as well as a title. The one is just as necessary as the other.
Yeah, very good.
So those are the five similarities. They
right.
both come from God, from Christ, and the same person, same time, and they're both necessary for salvation.
Well, as J.C. Ryle says, let us now reverse the picture and see wherein they differ.
Now, this is the more important part, I think, is bigger. I mean, this is what he has more to say about it.
Right,
say.
Right. Okay, number one.
Number one, justification is the reckoning and counting a man to be righteous for the sake of another, even Jesus Christ the Lord. Sanctification is the actual making a man inwardly righteous, though it may be in a very feeble degree.
Right, right. And all he's talking about there is our dispositions. You know, whereas before salvation, our only inclination was to sin continually. Once you're saved, you get these little twinges, as feeble as they may be sometimes, that you're actually doing things for the glory of God, that you're actually doing things because they're right. You're doing things on the basis of your having been declared righteous.
I think the key here is that justification is being declared righteous, while sanctification is actually making you righteous.
Yeah.
Working it out.
Right.
A distinction between an outward righteousness, which is based upon the work of another, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and the making a man inwardly righteous, though it may be in a very feeble degree.
Exactly right.
So there's an inward righteousness, which is based upon the outward righteousness of Christ.
Right, right.
Right. Number two?
The righteousness we have by our justification is not our own, but the everlasting perfect righteousness of our great mediator Christ imputed to us, and made own by faith. The righteousness we have by sanctification is our own righteousness imparted, inherent, and wrought in us by the Holy Spirit, but mingled with much infirmity and imperfection. That is true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
That's pretty self-explanatory, right. Number
you
wanna, three?
You want to do number three? You haven't read it.
Yeah,
yeah,
can
I feel bad for
can
you.
Can I read number three?
Go for it.
Okay,
number three is
I'm
going to
read
yours.
Number three.
It's a good one.
In justification, our own works have no place at all, and simple faith in Christ is the one thing needful. In sanctification, our own works are of vast importance, and God bids us fight and watch and pray and strive to take pains and labor. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where I'm thinking of James chapter 2 here. You know, faith and works are indeed separate, mm-hmm. but they're inseparable in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you're not made faith, you're not given faith as a result of your works, but your works do exhibit that you do have that faith. Mm-hmm. In the same way, sanctification is a telltale sign that you have been justified. Yeah.
And just let me just say that his point that God bids us fight and watch and pray mm-hmm. and strive and take pains and labor, I think he is referring back to another point we've already made, and that is using the means that God has prescribed for us, prayer, reading of the Word of God,
right.
Fasting, whatever the
right.
case may be, attendance to the preached Word
right.
in the congregation of the saints. All of these are means by which we fight and labor. They don't come naturally. It's something we have to strive to do.
Right.
But the bigger point is, though, that we're never commanded to fight for our justification.
Right.
We believe,
right.
and that,
right.
then it's done.
Right.
But we are commanded to fight and use those means for our sanctification.
Right.
There are no means of justification beyond faith.
Right.
And that's it.
Exactly.
And but sanctification is, as we'll see, we'll just go ahead and read number 5 here, or number 4.
Yeah.
Justification is a finished and complete work.
Right.
And a man is perfectly justified the moment he believes. Sanctification is an imperfect work comparatively, and will never be perfected until we reach heaven. Again, he's talking about the progressive element of it. But justification is done.
Right.
It's not. There's no progressive aspect
right.
to justification. You don't become more or less justified.
Right. Well, you know, and let's talk for just a minute about the thought that there are such things as carnal Christians in the world today. This goes directly against that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be justified positionally and then your life not show any evidence of that. And that's one of these things about easy believism and the whole lordship salvation controversy and things like that. We
yeah.
need to realize that sanctification, that progressive becoming more like Christ each and every day, is just evidence of our having been sanctified. But it's something we need to work at.
Well, this goes back to his third similarity, is that both justification and sanctification happen in the same person.
Exactly.
You can't be justified and not sanctified. In
right.
other words, you can't have Jesus as Lord but not Savior.
Right.
That's putting it into a modern kind of controversy.
Exactly.
And I think he's also implying the fact that we always make, and that is that, it would have been great that in regeneration, that sin would have been completely eradicated from our lives. We would have loved to have that kind of experience. I never have to worry about sin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have to worry about sin because it remains in us. It's called remaining corruption,
right.
remaining pollution.
Right.
And the reason that remains in us is to keep us striving
right.
until we reach heaven.
And to keep us humble.
Exactly.
Number 5 is similar to number 4. Justification admits of no growth or increase. A man is as much justified the hour he first comes to Christ by faith as he will be to all eternity.
Right.
Sanctification is eminently a progressive work and admits of continual growth and enlargement so long as a man lives. So that's
right.
pretty much repeating
yep.
or similar to number 4.
Yep.
I want to do number 6.
Yep.
Number 6. Justification has special reference to our persons, our standing in God's sight, and our deliverance from guilt. Sanctification has special reference to our natures and the moral renewal of our hearts.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. That's pretty self-explanatory
yeah, I think
as
so.
Well. Number 7, justification gives us our title to heaven and boldness to enter it. Sanctification gives us our fitness for heaven and prepares us to enjoy it when we dwell there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's a really good one, too.
And the last difference between justification and sanctification?
You want me? Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep.
Justification is the act of God about us and is not easily discerned by others. Sanctification is the work of God within us and cannot be hid in its outward manifestation from the eyes of men.
Yeah, now that's very good. When you
yes.
consider the fact that sanctification and justification go hand in hand, they occur in the same person, you can't have one without the other, then that just blows the doctrine of carnal Christianity
yeah.
completely out of the water, because it will be evident.
You can't hide your sanctification.
You can't hide it.
You can't hide it.
No, you can't. So, Where are we going now?
The final portion of this chapter, he kind of concludes with some practical reflections that the whole matter of sanctification, the things that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks,
right?
What questions or reflections should come to our mind? And there are 6 of them that we'll try to finish off with here.
Uh-huh. Go
ahead. The first one is, for one thing, let us all awake to a sense of the perilous state of many professing Christians.
Oh, yeah.
We should consider how many people say they're sanctified, say they're Christians, but unfortunately their lives just don't match up with their profession.
What are you saying? We can actually call people out? Can we call them to accountability?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And you should. You know, I had a conversation on Wednesday night with Isabel.
Yeah.
Isabel and Courtney and Ronnie, bless. And if they're listening to this broadcast,
they get another shout-out.
Yeah, they get another shout-out. But we were having this conversation about this very thing, that there are many people out there who can pretend to be Christians and not be Christians at all. And we should be those who are willing to call them into accountability. You know, the question was raised, well, aren't we told, judge not lest ye be judged? Well, you know, there is a judgment that is equatable to discernment. We're not judging anyone unto condemnation. We're judging them in an effort to discern whether or not they are of the household of faith. And we should do that.
Right. It really goes back to the whole issue of the responsibility of the leaders within a church, church discipline, all of that which we've dealt with before. I mean, it's church discipline is the, I won't say it's a cure-all, but it's the means by which we do
hold people accountable.
Hold people accountable and call them to a holy life.
Yep. Kenny, did I steal your thunder a minute ago? Were you going to say something about discernment?
No.
Okay.
I have no thunder to steal.
You looked at your father like I had said something that...
No, that look was I made a noise and with my Kindle like that, and I thought you were mad at me. That's the look I gave.
I'm not mad at you.
Thank you.
I forgive you.
Wow.
Anyway, what's number two?
Second practical reflection. Let us make sure work of our own condition and never rest until we feel and know that we are sanctified ourselves.
Yeah.
Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
I mean, that's a command that we should not rest with.
Yeah.
We have to remember, though, it's for God who works mm-hmm. in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, this
both,
came
both
up.
Both things together.
Yeah, yeah. And we had this conversation Wednesday night as well when we were talking about what we were dealing with. But, you know, this is not a fear unto condemnation that we have. This is a fear, the same fear that a child has that they will be displeasing to their father. It's that kind of fear. It's a reverential type fear. When we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the fear comes from reverence and awe. The trembling comes from knowing what we have been saved from when we look at a thrice holy God who should very well pour His wrath out on us.
Well, there's kind of two conflicting emotions. On the one hand, there's a... assurance of faith, right? I know I'm a Christian. I believe I'm a Christian
mm-hmm.
by the promises of God. But on the other hand, I should constantly be evaluating. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, for example, to each man to consider himself, each woman consider herself, to wonder, why do I do this? Am I really a Christian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to cause unnecessary doubt, but there's a healthy doubt that should be there
at
times anyways.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Number
three, if we would be sanctified, our course is clear and plain. We must begin with Christ. This is a very good point. In fact, I read Spurgeon's Morning and Evening every day, and I'm just struck how many times he comes back to this point, to keep our eyes on Christ, to see Him, to observe His examples on how He treated people and how He reacted to being mistreated. And he is the epitome. He is the great example of holiness for us.
Yeah, and his preaching was characterized by that. You know,
yes,
it was Spurgeon who said, you know, someone asked him once how he prepares his messages, and he says, well, you know, I read the text, I contemplate the text, I do my word study, I do all that's necessary as prerequisite, and then I make a beeline for the cross.
There you go.
And that's, you know, exactly how we should center our thoughts. You know, everything is about Christ as the center of everything.
Yes. Number four is continues that idea.
Yep. If we would grow in holiness and become more sanctified, we must continually go on as we began and be ever making fresh applications to Christ. That's a big one.
Yep. What did I believe in John chapter 17, did the Lord pray to God, sanctify them by your truth?
By your truth, yes.
I mean, so that was even on the mind of Christ. He is our sanctification according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Yep.
But
yep.
He even prayed to be that we should right. be sanctified. It's in his heart and mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that prayer, that whole prayer in John 17, if you'll read the part that concerns us as believers, it is very poignant in bringing to bear the fact that, you know, we should be in the world, but not of the world. Christ knows mm-hmm. that it was going to be a difficult thing for us. And that's why he said, sanctify them by your truth. I think he said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So, anyway.
Two final reflections.
Number five, let us not expect too much from our own hearts here below. I don't think this is an apology. I think this is just a matter of reality. That not that we should not expect holiness in our own lives, but we have to remember that we are still imperfect and that we are still in a progressive state, or we are progressing in holiness. And so to expect too much here below, here on earth, is, I think, what he's dealing with.
This is what J.C. Ryle says about this. He says, at our best, we shall find in ourselves daily cause for humiliation and discover that we are needy debtors to mercy and grace every hour.
Right.
The more light we have, the more we shall see our own imperfection. Sinners we were when we began, sinners we shall find ourselves as we go on, renewed, pardoned, justified, yet sinners to the very last. Our absolute perfection is yet to come, and the expectation of it is one reason why we should long for heaven.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the sad realization is that many professing believers love this world more than the prospect of heaven. Hmm. And that's a tough hurdle as well. So.
Yeah, the Puritans used to always say, even at our best state, our best, you know, in our attempts to be holy, we're still mortal men and sinners.
Exactly.
That's the way it is.
Exactly. Yep. What about the last one?
His final question, or reflection, I should say, is, finally, let us never be ashamed of making much of sanctification and contending for a high standard of holiness.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's what the Christian life is all about, is being holy. And the whole source of this book was the concept of our being separate, utterly unique from those around us, called out from the common lot of humanity for the purposes and cause of Christ. So that's what we should be striving for, you know.
Well, I think, I'm sorry, there's also a lot of people, though, that don't, they lower the bar, they lower the standard.
Right.
And we said we shouldn't be ashamed of this.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Well, we've got about 45 seconds left in the broadcast. Let me once again remind people where we are. We are Free Grace Baptist Church. We are at 1801 Thorain Boulevard in San Antonio, Texas. And we can be found on the internet at www.sermonaudio.com/Free Grace Baptist. You can find all of our sermons there. You can find all of these broadcasts archived there. And we encourage you to listen as often as possible. So, that's all we have. See you next week.
Goodbye. Sorry, Tony.
Thank you for listening to Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Free Grace Baptist Church is located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. Meeting times each Lord's Day are 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. Our weekly prayer meetings are held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to visit on the web, you can find us at freegracebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening, and may God continue to richly bless you through the faithful study of His Word.